people love to compare the United States to the Roman Empire, you know, the fall of the Roman Empire. We're here, we're going to fall there. Well, no Catholic should be able to say that, or few, because we are utterly disgraceful when it comes to the patriotic duties that we should have discharged compared to the patriotic duty that the Roman Catholic performed when he or she became a real, live, living martyr, if need be, but evangelist for the faith. I mean,
yep.
your point was that they were good citizens of Rome that settled England, that brought the faith to the pagan hordes in the Nordic lands, that brought the faith to the Franks, that brought the faith to the Spaniards and what would ultimately become the Portuguese. And then, of course, it spread west. It went almost to China.
And then all through the East, Syria, Egypt. And the thing was, those were not just good Catholics. They were good Romans. They loved their country. They loved their faith. We don't.
Why don't you tell me what you really think, Charles?
Well, no, I believe in pulling my punches, as you know. That's what I told him last night. You know, what's this lousy Dom Perignon? Where's the verb control? What are you doing? No. seriously. Just your audience doesn't get to him. Said I really wasn't there. Just so you'll know, despite the photographs. Anyway,
I did not have libation relations with that bottle.
You should not be reading the Inquirer anyway. All right. So if you see my picture of the Inquirer, it says more about you than it does about me. But as I was saying, no. But seriously though, the thing is that the truth of the matter is that we Americans, we Catholic Americans, I should say, have failed our country. You know, and I'll regionalize it. You can wave the stars and bars all you like, but you're no son of the South if you don't want to evangelize your neighbors. You can go on and on about the need for civil rights and the improvement of the blacks' position in society, but you hate the blacks if you're not about evangelizing them. If you don't want to evangelize people, you don't love them.
Now, this is where the argument gets... this is where most people go like, all right. That's easy for you to say. Actually...
Well, yeah, because I live in California where everyone is open to the faith. Tell me more.
Charles Coulomb, author of A Catholic Quest for the Holy Grail on the Dude Maker Hotline with us. Book is on sale today in the Founders Trading Post, signed by Charles. Get a copy, autograph while you can. Now, there's a part of the Holy Grail story, though, that Charles tells. And I got to tell you, when I see you changed my life, and I'm going to blame you for it. this whole Roman argument here that you made with brother just got me to thinking, like, you know, Mike, stop apologizing for evangelizing. Just do it. You know, you either have ataraxia or you don't. And it's a disease, and I think I contracted it this weekend. So,
well, I gosh. So that's two things. One, you're still annoyed because you didn't get invited to the after party. Are we still on that? Can we leave that alone?
Yeah.
But no, seriously. No, well, tell me. I'm all ears, which is very uncomfortable in a chair like this.
Well. Now, in the book, The Holy Grail, okay, so we get this. I got to, like, the fifth chapter, and I went, that's it? That's it? I said, wait a minute, I'm only 80 pages in. The lesson that is presented in this book is one that is going to be very surprising to people. I think that it is, regardless of what you think about the Holy Grail story or not, I think it's worthy reading. Because of the context that Sir Charles places the Grail in. And this is just brilliant. I really think it is. The Grail is the instrument, one of the instruments, that actually held the precious blood of the Redeemer of the human race. that now from the day that he does the first, that our Lord does the first transubstantiation on Holy Thursday, that cup was venerated by all the faithful. And they never questioned whether or not that blood was in that cup, because that's why they, your point was, I think, I hope I got it, was that the early Christians never questioned transubstantiation, even though they didn't have the name yet. They knew that he changed the water that was in the cup into his blood.